Father, thank you again for this wonderful night and all these wonderful people, all these brothers and sisters that love you, Lord, and got great and bold faith. Thank you, Father, for all of that. Thank you, Lord, for the one accord that you've gotten us into. You're bringing us into that realm of signs and wonders, great miracles, believe in you for everything. Lord, we thank you for that. We ask, Lord, that you lead us tonight, that you lead everybody to. We'll do whatever it is that you want us to do, Lord, not what we want, but what you want. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for answered prayers. Every time we pray, we know it's going to happen. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, for the victory over the enemy. We thank you, Lord, for draining the swamp, the spiritual swamp and the physical swamp, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for all that's going to be accomplished tonight on this outreach fellowship. I don't even like to call it an outreach. I like to call it a fellowship of like-minded believers, because we all are joined hand in hand and heart to heart and spirit to spirit, because our spirit's the same. It's the Lord Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for that. We thank you, Lord, for your leading of your Holy Spirit tonight. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you for the victory over the enemy. And we praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Pat.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm on my phone here, so I'm not sure how to even operate this. I got to navigate through the process. But anyway, I'm only going to be on for a few minutes here. My wife is in the hospital. She had a gallbladder attack Sunday night, and so I just wanted to pray for her and have everybody keep her in prayer as well. Okay. I'm heading back over there just as soon as I get off the phone here. But her name is Kathy, and first night she went in, her liver functions functions where they look at the various different hemoglobin or RUBA something, whatever, all their numbers, they were very, very high. She had been sick all weekend. And so we took her into the hospital Sunday night. They took numbers and everything and admitted her immediately to get her in, suspecting that she had a blockage of a gallstone or something in there. So we're praying about it. And then I left that night, and the Lord kind of laid it on my heart as I was thinking about it, because they suspected, I don't want to get too involved in, you know, the connection of the gallbladder and the liver and how it feeds whatever and everything, because I don't really know that much about it anyway. But there is a duct or a tube that comes from the gallbladder and liver down into the intestines, and all that whole process helps in digestion and whatever it needs to happen. Well, it was blocked with a gallstone, and so I mentioned it to Kathy the next day that, you know, the Lord can remove that or crush that thing and take care of that. And so we both agreed and prayed about that. And the next day, which was Monday, her numbers had dropped about a half. They'd come down about a half. So she was feeling a lot better, she was feeling a lot better. She wasn't in pain or anything like that, and her numbers were coming down, etc. So they took her into a MRI, and took a picture in there, and she had a very large gallstone that was blocked, completely blocking. If it wasn't blocking, it was very close to blocking that whole tube that came down there. So they went in today and surgically removed that through their process or whatever, and everything came out. And then tomorrow they're wanting, they're needing to take out the gallbladder, basically, is what they're doing. So I'm just trusting the Lord to bring Kathy through this process and to take her to the next step, just to do whatever he needs to do or can do in this situation. I'm just prayerfully supporting her through the process, and whenever possible, applying the Lord's truth to this situation as far as healing and his guidance, and standing against any spirit that would try to attack her or attack her mind or inflict fear on her heart or anything like that. So I'm just bringing it up tonight, and like everybody to join with me if they could. And okay. I'll just pray right now if you don't mind. Father, thank you for this circumstance that you brought into our lives, Lord. I thank you that you are in control and in charge of this situation, and whatever way you need to use this to speak to Kathy's heart or to my heart or whatever, or to others that are praying for Kathy, even those in Texas. So, Lord, I just ask you to use this situation to open the doors of the Holy Spirit, to pour into Kathy's life, and to bring forth truth and reality of the gospel, and trust and confidence in you, Lord, and just a new vision, a new spirit to seek you with her whole heart, mind, and soul and strength. Thank you for this time, Lord. Many times, I know in my situation, I wasn't aware of what you were doing really until weeks or even months later as I look back to view the situation. So I trust that you are doing the same thing in this situation as well. Lord, give me wisdom to pray and to bring Kathy into the truth of your word, the truth of your gospel, Lord, that by your stripes we were healed, and that we can anchor down and trust in that and expect results, expect your healing and your word, because it's what you said, Lord. So we thank you for that. Just pray for her that you would strengthen her through this time. You would open up her eyes through for the gospel through this process and in this operation or the gallbladder removal tomorrow, Lord, that you would guide the surgeon's hands, that you give them wisdom, you would control all thoughts and everything related to this. And I take an opportunity to bind Satan, and he would throw fear or try to throw any kind of contradiction in there into this process. I bind you, I cast you out, I put you under my foot, and I praise you, Lord, that you have control of this situation. We just trust you, put our confidence in you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Can I pray for Pat?
Amen. Yes, please.
Okay. In the name of Jesus right now, we come against this attack, this infirmity, the spirit of infirmity on her. I command it to go from her, Lord. Is she a new Christian or something like that, Pat, or she just normal?
No, she came in with me 40 years ago.
Okay. Well, Lord, I just ask that you use this to turn her around and come running after you, Lord, because she knows that she's been prayed for. And Lord, I'm asking you to place it in the physician's heart, the doctor's heart, to check that gallbladder once more to make sure that they need to pull it, because I believe in a miracle. And you're the miracle maker. And I'm thanking you, Father, that you're going to give her a new gallbladder and all the other stuff that's attached to it. and they won't even have to. They'll be coming around scratching their heads. And Father, I thank you that that gallbladder is brand new and everything attached to it is working well. And I praise you, Father, that she will know, and Pat will tell her that we prayed this prayer of faith for her. And then this will turn her around to run after the Lord. And Father, I thank you that Kathy is healed in the name of Jesus. Everybody believe that? Amen. Raise your hand if you believe that. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, okay, Pat, we're all in agreement that she's got a brand new ball gladder. Amen. All right, brother, we're looking for the good testimony.
Amen. All right, praise thank you God. All.
All right, bless you, brother.
All right, I'm going to bug out. See ya.
Lord, give him protection there and back in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank I receive you, it.
Okay. All right, Matt, go ahead, brother.
Well, my problem isn't quite so bad, but as you can see, our power went out. So I imagine Tim's power went out too. So, Lord, I just pray that whatever it is, you restore it quickly, get back on. We thank you, Lord, for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I command the electricity to stay on in this house in Jesus' name. Because if it goes out, y'all are out. So we're not going to believe that, are we? In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right, Malcolm, go ahead, brother.
I just wanted to bring up a friend of mine, Paul, down in Portland, Oregon, who's I've been in touch with actually him and his wife. He's a friend from way back in the 80s. This is before my wife and I got married. Since we left Portland 20-something years ago, we've kind of lost touch with a lot of folks there, but recently gotten in touch with them just a bit. He's had brain cancer for some time, and they've been doing all kinds of things. Radiation and all the typical stuff. But recently it took a turn for the worse. And actually I called up today. I was planning to get down there to talk with them and pray for him. And he's lost consciousness as of, at least he's not responding to anything as of last week sometime. And today's breathing is getting more and more shallow. She's noticed that this during the day. And she doesn't think he's going to make it through the night. But anyway, I haven't really mentioned much to her about the gospel. They're both believers, but not in the sense that they believe that they can be healed. They're healed by Jesus' stripes, that we can see healing like that today, like back in the days of the apostles and Acts, the book of Acts. So I just mentioned that a little bit about soteria and sozo and what that means for us, but it was a very brief conversation and I don't think she understood what I was saying. Just wondering if we could pray for Paul and Sharon. But I'd just like to pray for that that they be a turnaround, because I'd sure like to get down there. What he told me is that he doesn't make it through the night, he'll let me know so I don't have to go down there. So it's like, I'm not buying that. But anyway, that's what's on my heart right now.
Okay, you want to pray for him, or do you want, and we'll agree with you?
Yes, and if you could pray too, that'd be great.
All right.
And one more thing I'm concerned about, probably even more than healing, is that, I haven't talked with him enough to know where he was at, but he, in a former job years and years ago, he had a boss that was really ruthless with him and was it was really bad. The situation was terrible. He had a poor eyesight, and my friend Paul had really poor eyesight, and the spots would make it really hard on him. So one thing I want to make sure is that he's not holding on to any kind of bitterness or resentment that would prevent the Lord from, you know, that would keep him out of the kingdom. They do believe in Jesus and trust in him. So I'm not too worried about that part, unless he's held on to bitterness that he hasn't let go of. So, dear Lord, I just want to ask that you work in Paul. I just want to ensure that he's not having any bitterness that he hasn't dealt with yet. Even though he's not responding, like Jesus said, if we believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And also, like the angel said to Mary, with God, all things shall be possible. So I know you can deal with that situation, that bitterness, if that's still there. Lord, we rebuke that right now, that bitterness, if it's there. And thank you, Lord, that you have dealt with that and you've brought it to his heart and he has made that right. Lord, I just pray that you've raised Lazarus, you raised all kinds of people from the dead. And we command right now the spirit of cancer to go off of Paul's body. We break any ties with his parents, genealogy, anywhere that would enable this. We break all those ties and we proclaim him healed of cancer. And we thank you for giving us faith to believe this kind of thing and under these circumstances. And I thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a testimony to his wife and children and the other folks around down there that they're friends with and his relatives. And I thank you for doing this right now. Lord, I thank you that you have done this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I know that you don't dwell in time. And most of all, Father, we ask and we pray that you have already urged him to repent and forgive, Lord, so that he can come into the kingdom. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that Paul is part of your kingdom. And I know that even though he's unconscious, as they say, his spirit's still alive. And Father, we just praise you that if this is the night that you want, that he's going to come into the kingdom. Because that's the most important thing right there, is for him to come into the kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, for placing it in his heart to have forgiven all and to have repented and made it right with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for Paul's complete salvation, in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, I'm asking you to work on his wife as well. If Malcolm goes down there, Lord, that she would open her ears and her eyes to hear what Malcolm has to say about the kingdom of God and what it takes to be, what salvation is. A lot of folks don't even know what it is. They think it, just believing that Jesus died on the cross. No. It's bearing the fruit of Jesus is what it is. And Father, we thank you for letting her know and letting her understand that she needs to run after you with all her heart. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Malcolm, do they have any children?
Yes, they have a son and a daughter. They got married short, I think it was like within a year of my wife and I getting married. And So, their kids have, I think, graduated from the daughters graduated from college, and their sons, I think he's not quite there yet, but so.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you for saving Paul's wife, and not only that, she would be the catalyst for her son and her daughter In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. I believe it.
Thank you.
I believe
it,
man.
Thank you, everybody, for praying.
Amen. Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Malcolm, as you were praying, the Lord brought to me Psalm 138, verse 8, and it says, Jehovah will perfect that which concerns me. And this is a concern for you. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you that we can stand on that verse. We have the word to stand on. We stand in faith that, you know, you are perfecting the situation, that you've already perfected it. And Lord, even the very end of that verse, it says that you do not forsake the work of your hands. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that Paul's life is in your hands. You know everything about him, every second of every day of his life, and you haven't forsaken the work of your hands, and you've perfected everything that has been a concern here for your servant Malcolm. And thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer of faith and love, and it's bearing forth great fruit, even the fullness of salvation for Paul. And we pray this and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Amen, thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Dave.
Oh my gosh, finally my son got an apartment tonight. Oh, that's been a trip. Praise the Lord for that. So tomorrow morning I get to, or tomorrow sometime, I'm driving the U-Haul out there. It'll be about, I don't know, 2.5 hour drive maybe at the most. Hopefully. It's going to be a little slower than a car. So I pray for that. We have a safe journey because we've been doing a lot of driving here the last couple of days. We had to go out there last night because he needed a few things. We had to put him up in a hotel again. This will be his third night in a hotel out there. And he asked for his birth certificate, but we forgot it along the way because where he's working, they want proof of citizenship, believe it or not. So it's kind of funny place. They do work for the defense, Department of Defense. So they make sure they've got people that say who they are, you know, there. So we've got to bring them that out along the way. So we just faxed it to them or gave them a photocopy by email last night when we got home. And they said, that's not good enough. We can't allow you to work today till you get that proof of birth certificate, a real live birth certificate. So I had to run out and drive that out to them today. You know, we got home last night about 2 a.m. So 10 a.m, I'm up driving out there again. He met me halfway. And so I gave him that and he's pretty beat. You know, this whole thing's kind of trying. So I, you know, pat him on the shoulder and I was praying to the Lord, Lord, just have this come to an end today. You know, hear my prayer, you know, and it's been kind of a trial there. And the Lord told me that he was going to, well, he gave me a passage before I left. I didn't even know I was leaving. So he gave it to me. Let me read it. It's in Psalms. He said, the righteousness goes before him and he prepares the way up for his steps. And I was thinking, oh, good, you know, Lord heard my prayer. He's going to be there. But really, he was saying also, I'm going out before you when you're driving today, you and your son, you know. Oh, okay, I see what's going on. So that was kind of cool. And then, so tomorrow I'm doing the drive. Tonight, my daughter's flying in she's on her way home now. She went and visited a friend out in Washington. Because she's got this summer off, you know. So she's on her way home. So we'll pick her up tonight after I get off the conference call. We'll run out to the airport. So it's been one of those weeks, you know, just run, run, run. So anyways, thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. It was starting to come under my skin a little bit with this rent thing. And
you know, getting the U-Haul packed up, waiting to take it out of here. And Aaron's got a place to stay. He'll be a little more settled now and calmer, be able to concentrate on his job and not have to be constantly disrupted between job and finding a place to stay, and him and his friend down there. Thank you, Lord, for looking after us and making it all safe. Nobody's got hurt, and all the traveling we've been doing, it's been pretty, other than the drive, it's very, very pleasant. And thank you for bringing my daughter home safe. Thank you for bringing this group together so that we can come together in prayer and praise and thank you for the things you do. And Lord, don't let the enemy come in here and cause any disruption. Let us all work together with your word to find the truth, and at the same time to, you know, enjoy each other's company. But, you know, like brothers and sisters, sometimes we might get under each other's skin sometimes, but Lord, it's nothing personal. You know that. We're all just having a good time. So Lord, we help ask you to encourage this night and continue to help us grow in your name. And bless Michael and everybody here. Michael, for being our mentor, and Denny and everybody else, and Andrew, and having all this great knowledge we get to work with, and Sissy, Missy. Anyways, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. What do you think about that, Sissy?
I didn't pray about not getting under each other's skin, so.
I've been called Sissy Missy, so hey.
That's okay, Dave. She's probably been called worse. All right, anybody else? We believe it with
you. Hello, Mike.
Yeah. Go ahead, Gang.
Okay, I have a prayer request here, and this is from Tracy. It's for her granddaughter, Natalie, who is four. She was at, I'm not exactly sure when this happened, but she was at daycare, and she fell from some monkey bars, and she fractured her shoulder. And so Tracy was wanting us to pray, and so I'll just lift up Natalie to you, Father. I thank you, Father, that she's in your care. And we just pray that the bones would line up correctly from the x-ray. It looks like they're crooked, but we know that you can straighten them, that they will grow together the way they should. We just command the tendons, the ligaments, the nerves, and the blood supply to be restored as new, and that she will have no pain when she uses her shoulder. And we also command the pooling of blood that's in her armpit, that would also go in Jesus' name. We just thank you, Father, for your protection over her, that you would just draw this little girl to yourself. And we pray that this healing would just be a miraculous healing that would draw the rest of the family closer to you. We just speak that. We speak healing. And we thank you that it was done. And it was done at the cross. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen. How old is that granddaughter?
She's four. I know she has another sister and a couple brothers as well. And I just think it would just be an awesome testimony of the Lord's work, you know, to see that their little sister got healed. And I think it also would be a great testimony for her mom to draw her back to yourself, because she once was believing in you and walking with you. And she's kind of fallen by the wayside for a little bit, but we are believing for household salvation for Tracy's family as well as for mine, and so that includes all of them, even those that weren't just injured. So I also wanted to mention, you know, we prayed for Tracy last week. that her neighbors would be respectful of Tracy, and that the dogs wouldn't bark and keep her awake. And she said this week went much better. The dogs didn't bark very much. We commanded them to not bark. And she said, and the neighbors haven't been being really loud late into the night like they had been. So that was an answer to prayer. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to pray for a couple of my grandchildren. It was the daughter that was here, they're from California, and they were working on their house. They were taking down some texturing that was on the ceiling, and they really did not, at the time, did not realize there was asbestos in it. But my daughter's husband sent a sample in, and it actually was pretty high in asbestos. And so both parents are quite concerned because the children were doing this. They were not wearing masks, and they were, you know, working, scraping it loose over their head, so it was falling down on them. And I just lift Anna and Maverick up to you, Father, and I thank you for protecting them, that whatever they breathed in, that it will have no effect on their lungs, that you're all powerful, you're sovereign, and you can keep them safe. We thank you, Father, for your protection. And I just pray that this would also speak to their parents as well. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do for Anna and Maverick. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, we have a good father. Good
amen.
Father.
I want to pray for Madeline.
Okay, it's Madeline.
Yeah, you know what I said?
Well, I don't know. You maybe did. Maybe I misunderstood.
It's my Arkansas language. You can't understand it probably. Anyway.
Oh, I know.
I lift up Madeline to you. The 4-year-old Madeline. I command that shoulder right now, all the bones to be healed. I command them to line up with the word of God. I command that shoulder to be completely healed. And when she wakes up in the morning, that she'll be running up and down, and she'll be jumping up and down, and there won't be anything wrong with her shoulder. And I praise you, Father, that Tracy's going to know that it was you. And not only that, she'll proclaim your glory and your mercy and your grace upon Madeline, and that her family would come together, Lord, that it'd be a time of refreshing in you, Lord, for the whole family. And I praise you for it, Father. And I'm also asking you to give little Madeline dreams and things like that to that the angels would talk to her. And Father, I praise you for doing that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that Madeline is healed by the stripes of Jesus because your mercy and your grace is upon her, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give Tracy great and bold faith to believe that she is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it in the name of Jesus. I know everybody here does too. Thank you, Father. Well, I'm looking for a good testimony from that one. That just went all over me. I know that little 4-year-old girl is going to be healed, already healed. She's healed 2,000 years ago, Gaino.
Yeah, I know. It reminded me of when David shared when one of his sons was, I don't know whether his arm was broken or dislocated. I don't remember, but I just remember how he was healed. Yeah. And I kind of thought of that because I think he was close to that same age as what she is right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, it's done in Jesus' name. I believe it. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Barry, go ahead.
Yeah, we got a little situation next door with the neighbors, it's younger people, and they've been living here, you know, next to us as long as we've been here. And the lady, they don't have any kids or anything, and the lady over there, I think, has some mental issues. About a month ago, she was out in the wee hours of the morning, just saying odd stuff at loud volume. You know, we had the windows open, we could hear all this. It just went on and on. And a couple of nights ago, pretty much the same thing. 3 o'clock in the morning, she's out there, you know, hollering and stuff, just stuff that didn't make any sense. And you know, there's firearms in the house, and she's been known to, you know, grab a gun and go, you know, blast a few rounds off in the backyard and stuff. And it's, you know, we don't talk to them hardly ever, you know, and we just, it's just, you know, they're not real social or anything. And we're kind of concerned about, you know, the whole situation there with the neighbors.
Okay, let's pray. You have authority in your house and in your property. You remember that time that David's mother was in the house with him, mm-hmm. and she was crazy as a bat, and tried to keep him up all night long, and he finally got tired of it, went in there and commanded that demon to come out of her, and said, boy, they went back to bed, and they didn't hear nothing out of it, but the next morning they went in there, and it looked like they had a wrestling match in there. But she was quiet and there was nothing going on. She come out from under the bed, completely healed, delivered. So you have that same authority. Lord, we just thank you that we do have that authority. We come against this demon-possessed woman. We bind up those demons right now in the name of Jesus. We command you never, ever to go out at night and do that again, or in the daytime as far as that goes. And we command you, as long as you're in that neighborhood, you act right. In Jesus' name, we command those demons to come out and leave in the name of Jesus. Their property, Barry and Marilyn's property, is the property of Jesus. And you're not allowed to get up and interrupt any of their sleeping or during the day in the name of Jesus. We bind you from doing that at any time in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Father, for doing that for Barry and Marilyn. I believe it. I believe demons are bound up right now.
Let's also pray for some warrior angels to be around Barry Marilyn's house and give protection. Stand guard, not allow the enemy to trespass in any way, and be mindful of keep those demons in line. They are not allowed to be anywhere near Marilyn Barry. That is forbid territory in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Our Casey and, oh gosh, I forgot your daughter's name.
Jenny.
Yeah, her too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your protection. Okay, that's done deal. Thank you, Jesus. Matt, you ain't got a lot yet. Okay. Lord, we thank you that you're going to turn them lights on. Turn his power back on in Jesus' name in the next 5 minutes. Go ahead, Missy.
I had been asking the Lord about, because this subject came up, I don't know if it was on the outreach or if it was on Saturday night, you know, talking to your family and, you know, or people that you know, warning them about things that are coming and stuff. And, you know, I've been speaking for years, you know, to, you know, here and there to my family. And I've been really asking the Lord, you know, what do you want me to do? You know, you want me to talk to them, you know, again, or do you want me to send an email? You know, I've just been, and so this morning, you know, I used to do this more often, but I don't do it as much anymore. But this morning I asked the Lord, you know, for a word, you know, what do you want to speak to me? And I landed right on the phrase in Ezekiel 3:11, speak unto them. And I knew right away when I read the context, when I looked where I was like, oh, I know what this is, you know. And I knew right away that he was telling me to speak to my family. And I was going to see Barbara today. And as I was going, I was, you know, praying and everything. And I know he wants me to send an email, and he's putting things into my my mind, you know, of what to say to them and all. And And so, I'm not completely sure, you know. I know it can't be something lengthy, that it has to be pretty to the point, you know, but not like blunt and crude. Okay, repent or you're going to go to hell, you know. can't be that. But you know, I just like prayer is to the Lord giving me the words of wisdom to put in an email to all my family. And something that would be, you know, that I could send to all of them. And believing that it's going to plant seeds, that it's going to produce some. It's not going to return void, you know. And even, you know, even if it doesn't do anything right away, when things start happening, you know, I believe, you know, that, you know, instantly they're going to think and they're going to start calling out to the Lord, you know. And you know, I believe my prayers too, and the Lord's protection upon them. You know, it's like, there's a lot of people that don't give God a thought. They've heard about God and they don't, you know, or they've been in church all their life and heard the gospel, like, or, you know, and they have a greasy grace, or they just have a watered down gospel. They know about God, you know, kind of thing, or haven't been to church in years and stuff. But when something happens in their life, they call out to the Lord, you know, he's the first one they, you know, when they know nobody else is there for them. And so, but anyway, so I just, I would like a prayer for that, to know what to write, and I feel to make it with as few words as possible, you know, nothing lengthy, because, you know, it's like, a lot of people don't like getting preached at, you know, and I don't want to be like that, you know, but I want it to be something that catches them, and that it be a definitely anointed of the Lord. And if the Lord gives it to me, I'm believing it's going to be anointed. So I'm believing he's going to give it to me. So anyway, I'll shut up now.
Let's pray. Well, yeah. Father, we thank you for giving Missy the wisdom and the words to say. Lord, I'm asking you to work through her to write this email that would be effective kingdom-wise for her whole family that she writes to. That every one of them will understand at the time, at the given time, what it means, what salvation means, Father. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that every word that you give her is going to be Holy Spirit anointed. And I praise you, Father, that that's exactly what you're going to do in Missy. That it's going to be just like the inspired word of God to her family members. When they read it, it's going to affect them in their spirit. They may not know it physically, but in the spirit, they'll know it. And Father, I praise you for doing that for Missy and her family. In Jesus' name, you promised us household salvation. And I thank you, Lord, that this message is going to help do that, in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that, Missy?
Amen. You know, and I read, you know, the whole chapter, and, you know, there's that's a packed chapter with a lot of good words in there. Behold, I have made thy face hard against their faces, and thy forehead hard against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. And then it goes on, you know, part of it, down in verse 18, it says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. And these are just, you know, verses that jumped out at me, you know. And then in verse 20 again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and can and commit iniquity and lay a stumbling and I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thy hand. You know, so this is a hefty chapter, and but you know, the Lord says, don't be afraid of the looks, whether they will heal or whether they forbear, it doesn't matter. Just do it, you know. Don't be afraid of them, you know.
Well, with those passages, I would just believe that God's going to anoint them, and they're going to look at it. It might not see anything right away, but like right. You said, the shaking comes, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lord's been toughening me up, crucifying me, and not being afraid.
I said, praise the Lord.
Yeah, not being afraid to speak to someone, you know, not being afraid to say something to someone, even though you know that they might bite your head off or you know, ignore you or whatever, just talk to them anyway. You know, you get crucified by saying, being determined you're going to talk to someone in spite of the fact that, you know, others want to walk on eggshells around them. and then you also get crucified when they snap at you or ignore you and you don't say anything back, you know? So anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen. We believe it's done.
Amen.
You were reading from Ezekiel, right?
Ezekiel 3, yeah.
18 and 33 are similar.
Right, they are very similar.
Amen. Is that you, Willie? That's our phone. Judy? Yeah, Leah.
Did anybody's power just go out?
Matt's is out.
I was getting on at 8 o'clock and everything died. My internet and everything. Anyway, I was at breakfast this morning, and there was a guy next to me, and I've seen him at breakfast a lot of times. So I said hi, and he said hi, and he got to telling me a story about. When he came home from Vietnam, he was detailed to work with the burial crew where they sent people back. And he was saying that, I think he said it was in North Carolina, but I could be wrong about that, but it's not really that important. But anyway, there was they were having a mass burial of about 40 people. And they were in a, like a valley, and it was a long sloped hill going up like this. And the wind was come over the hill and down into the valley. So he was saying that the guy was gonna play taps after the funeral for all these people. And somebody suggested to him, why don't you go up on that hill a little bit, you know? You'll have the wind at your back and it'll come. Anyway, he said, hey, that's a good idea. So he went on up and they buried all the people, did the 21-gun salute. And then it was his turn to play taps, and he played it. And it was so loud because of the wind coming down. It was so loud, and it's like an amphitheater too, that everybody fell to their knees and started saying, the Lord is coming. We got to repent. And they started repenting and calling on Jesus and so forth. He said it was a great thing. So they told his captain about that, and his captain didn't understand why they did that. He said he didn't know what he what was going on, but you know, it was a good ordeal. Anyway, I had an opportunity to talk to him a little bit.
Was that here in Madisonville?
Yeah, in Madisonville.
Okay.
At the lamppost, and the guy's name was, I can't remember right now what his name was, but I gave him a book of the Real Good News book. And he's an older guy. Obviously, he was in Vietnam, so he's an older guy. And so I thought that was pretty good. That's the reason I stopped for breakfast, I think.
Yeah, probably so. What? Why were they burying 40 people?
They were coming back from Vietnam, at the end of Vietnam.
There were 40 dead
that they were burying at this one spot. You know, I think they killed 25,000 or 250,000 people altogether, but I'm not sure about that number, 53,000.
Those must have been bodies they recovered, the remains.
Yeah, dead soldiers they were burying.
Right.
That were shipped back with them at the same time that they came home. So, pretty interesting story.
Okay, yeah. For he's got. I did that one time too, and I wasn't at a funeral, but it was over here at the fellowship. You might have been there, Leah, when they were praising the Lord. Remember that? And I got out on the porch with the shofar.
Okay.
Was you there?
Jeff and Sandy's?
Yeah. Remember that? When you know, praise God. I snuck outside and got that shofar and started blowing it. Gabe liked to have a fit.
You've done that several times, though, at different locations.
I know it.
You did it up on the mountain there, too. So.
Yeah, I know.
I like it when you do that.
Yeah, I know. It's a good thing, especially when you're all in the spirit and you hear that trumpet sound. It's awesome. People start hitting their knees, you know, crying out to God, yeah, the chariot's coming. Oh, I don't know. Missy, were you there at that time?
I was, but I didn't hear it. I heard about it after the fact that Gabe had just about had a fit, like you said. But
yeah, well, he was right there by the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awful. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
Hi, I'm sorry I'm late, but I was busy doing other stuff. But listen to all the prayer requests. I just have a question. Does everyone feel like their faith is really growing, is just there to believe for things, and you pray, and when someone else shares something, I feel it differently than I ever have before. And I just wonder if others also do, if it's the time that we're in, that God is really increasing our faith, we really believe for these things to happen and that we ask for. But it's like I've been standing a lot on that scripture that David, when we first started listening, talked about, Mark 11:24, is that the one?
Yeah.
Whatsoever things you ask, believe you received it, you shall have it. And that's just it. That's it. So I kept trying to really believe that and kind of like struggling with it in a way, but no, I believe. But it's like now when people pray for something or for someone's salvation, it's like, we prayed, God said it, that settles it. We believe it's happened, so it's going to happen. And I just feel like, I feel in my spirit that God's doing that around everywhere in people's hearts. I don't know if anyone else has been feeling that way. And like, it's kind of a, something to really rejoice over when we really can believe. And I was thinking of my sister that I shared one time, but who I had a hard time talking with and everything. And I haven't still talked to her over the phone or anything, but she corresponds a little better with me over text and stuff. But her husband has Alzheimer's, and she has, what's that lung disease?
Emphysema?
Not emphysema, but
COPD.
Yeah, COPD. She has that bad. But I want to pray for her and him. He's had Alzheimer's for a few years. He's really going down. But and just for the fact we've talked about praying, talking, like missing your boldness to pray, talk to family, it's like, yes, God's going to enable you to do that. And we're praying that they'll listen. They're going to listen. They're going to, or if they don't seem to be listening, they're going to chew on some words you've spoken. God's going to use those in their hearts. And I just feel, I had the same thing about holding back, speaking to some of my kids, certain things that, let's say they're Christians, but the lives don't show it. And yes, we can pray for them, for God to convict them, but I'm feeling like God wants me to use my faith and believe him to, in his spirit, with grace, to say the right things and believe, you know, he's going to use those words. His word's not going to return void. It's just not going to return void. He's going to use it and complete the purpose that was sent out to accomplish. And I just want to thank God for faith and just pray for more and more faith to believe that what we ask is, it's going to happen. So I know a lot of things, we have that faith, and we still see God go a different way, but we believe his purposes are accomplished because he's sovereign. So anyway, I like that prayer in agreement with my sister and her husband. So anyway, I'll pray for them. So Lord, I just lift up Diane, Lord, and Carl to you.
Amen.
Yes, God. Thank you.
Thank you. I just pray that you really awaken Diane's heart to you, Jesus. She believes she knows you, Lord, and she doesn't stand on your promises, God, and it's so much like your character, Lord. But so I pray, Lord, that you would just do a work in her, and I believe you're going to do that, Lord, that you're going to use whatever means you can, things that she hears, radio and other people, run into her and witness to her and give her things that are from you, Lord, and that you would use whatever you can, God, to reach her heart, Lord, to turn her around to you, Lord, and totally repent and have forgiveness in her heart of things that she's had unforgiveness of, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that God, that you would do a miracle in their lives, Lord. I just pray you would even just use the sicknesses they have now to call out to you, Lord, that Diane would just raise her voice unto you, God, and that she'd fall on her knees before you, Father, and repent, Lord, and ask you to forgive her of sins. So that's the most important thing we want to happen, God, is that she's right with you, Lord. So I just pray that you would do that, and I believe you can touch her, Lord. I pray you would just touch that COPD, Lord, and that you'd be glorified, Father, and that you would touch Carl, Lord, and reverse this in his brain and his mind, God, this Alzheimer's, God. In the name of Jesus, rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. Rebuke the spirit of COPD, spirit of infirmity. In the name of Jesus, we pray, God, yes, for touched by your mighty hand, oh God, to show them that you are God and that you love them, Lord, that you want to reach them, Lord, and draw them close to you. We just pray, God, for changes, Lord, and believe you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And I just pray, God, that you would just increase everybody's faith, let all of our faith, God, increase our faith to believe you that what we ask for, Lord, we shall have it, Lord. And we just believe you that you are a good God, that you love us, you want to answer our prayers, Lord, and because you want to be glorified, Father. And we just thank you that you're faithful to your promises. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, Debbie mentioned something about the faith and prayer. And over the last couple of days when I was, you know, struggling through my things, too, with my son and getting him moved and all the other complications coming up around all that, the Lord impressed on me with Deuteronomy 4:29, and he gave that to me, and it helped me understand. It said, and I'll read 29 through 31, and I'm going to read from the New Heart English Bible because it's 4:20. It's good English, but I think Michael's got a good version. But you got, that's New Testament, isn't it? The new version, New Testament for ASV, that's one, New Testament, right?
Numeric?
You're talking about the refreshed ASV?
That's the only, is that the full Bible, or is that just?
No, it's just New Testament and Psalms right now. They're still working on the Old Testament.
That'd be great when I get that going. Anyways, that's why I use Newhart, because it believes your language for me. But it's based off the same, it's based off the ASV. But you got to watch it. Sometimes they change some words that don't fit. Anyways, here's Deuteronomy 4:29. It says, but from there, you shall seek the Lord your God, and you shall find him when you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. I mean, that's the impression I'm getting. If we're going to get our prayers answered, we have to get downright just down in that groove, and we're not going to let go, and we're just searching for God with all our heart and all our soul for those answers in our prayer and for that connection, and we're just reaching out as far as we can, like we're trying to touch. That's the reach out he wants us to have when we're doing this prayer, when we're seeking for something.
That's a lot of purpose.
And then it goes on farther. And when you are in oppression, in which we will see, you know, this oppression's coming for the church. And some of us have experienced it a little bit, but I know it's even going to become worse over time. But he says, when you are in your oppression, and that could be a tribulation, and all these things have come upon you. Boy, is that language sound familiar, huh? In the latter days, you shall return to the Lord your God and listen to his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not fail you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. So, you know, when we're just crying out to the Lord and just spilling our heart, and giving them our all, who we are, and just, you know, you're my God, you're my Savior, you know, just making those claims and praising and thanking along the way, he's going to hear those prayers. He's going to respond. You know, he's not going to sit there and be quiet. You may think, oh, where's my God? God, show yourself. But we're going to be making those intercessions with our whole heart, and God's going to hear us, and he's going to answer us that way.
Amen. Yeah, to answer your question, Debbie, I believe the Lord has upped faith considerably because we are coming to this time of trial and judgment, and God's people are going to have that faith. And I wouldn't doubt that he's upping it. I know mine. I know when I pray, it's going to happen. I mean, that's just the way it is. And I'm sure most of y'all, if not all of you, feel the same way. Yeah, Missy.
I think the fact that, you know, we've gone through major deliverance and everything, and we've had victories over the enemy, we've had tests, you know, and the Lord's, you know, helping us to overcome. And all, we have more boldness. I mean, the enemy in a certain area, it just keep coming at me and trying to bring me back under deception about something. And I've just been battling with him. And finally, you know, I said to the Lord last night, I was like struggling with this. You know, it was like David was saying, you know, these thoughts come in, you don't receive them. They're not yours, you know, like you've been saying, you're being tested. The Bible says you're being tested because the enemy tries to get you to think that it's you, you know, but if you receive it and you start thinking on it, you know, it's, you're going to come back under that bondage again. But anyway, so I asked the Lord, you know, for a word last night about this struggle, and I landed right on these words. Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And it was in Jeremiah 20:8. And I believe it was just, and there's other places that says something very similar to that, like Deuteronomy 30:15-19, Isaiah 1:18-20, you know. And but what the Lord was saying, you know, and I was saying, Lord, you know, I want to obey you. I don't want to go down that road. And I was just, telling the Lord I was having a hard time, and that's what he gave me. And, you know, and like right around, the, like it's, it was like as I was getting that, or very shortly after that, you know, this thought came to me was, Lord, you know, oh gosh, what was that? I know that you have nothing but good for me, and that, you know, I just trust you, and, you know, and I was just telling him that I trust him, and like what I was saying, I will wait on you to show me the way you have for me. By your grace and power, your spirit, I will follow you and not make my own choices. I don't want to make my own choices. I've done that too many times, and my own decisions. I'm dead unto sin and alive unto God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live anymore, but it's Christ that lives in me. And I'm in you, Lord, and in you there is no sin. I love you, and I believe you, and trust you with my life. You have the very best for me. All this is for making me like you. Lord, I accept it, and I obey you. I agape you, Lord. In other words, that's obedience, love. You are all I have that is true and faithful. You are the only one that is dependable and won't let me down. You make everything right. And back in August, the Lord had given me a verse, you know, and I just quoted it here, you know, the part that I landed on, quicken me in your righteousness. And I believe that's in, I think that's Psalm 119:40, actually. But, you know, it was just like, you know, it's just like the enemy left, and he quit pestering me about this. I got a bold faith. I felt like I overcame in this, you know, and that, you know, it was just really encouraging. And just, like I said, gave me a boldness and a faith, and it was just really good. It was just really encouraging.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
I got this to say about that. I know what you're talking about as far as having these things come up, these thoughts and things. And I came across this the other day, and it's Hebrews 1:9. And when I read it, I said, wow. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Well, if we love righteousness and hate iniquity, then we're going to get our eyes focused on the Lord, and whatever happens is going to happen, because the Lord is orchestrating your life in our lives himself. And so we don't have to worry about things that might or might not happen. All we have to worry about is how God sees us. And if he sees us as righteousness, that we're accounted righteous and we're okay. Everything's fine. And all this other stuff will just fall into place, I believe is what it says.
Yeah, and I just, and the Lord reminds me these verses, this verse a lot. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And acknowledge him in all your ways. That's like, go to him. Acknowledge that he's there. He's like, hello. You know, acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your paths, you know. So, yeah, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's like, Lord, I can't, you know, I can't believe that I'm still here, that you didn't throw me away, you know, and so on and so forth. And that you've brought me through all these things. And, you know, it just, I'm just so encouraged. And what he's doing, he's like, you're, I finally got at rest about not, about, you know, it's like he's finally got me to the point where I don't fight. like Paul said, kick against the goads, you know? The crucifying things. What the Lord showed me was is trying to get out of the crucifixion. Every time I've tried to get out of the crucifixion, no matter what it was, brought me into sin. Every time. And I'm like, and I'm finally at rest. Here I am. I'm fine with it, you know. And the Lord brought to my mind again this verse. I'm gonna read the first part of it. Actually, the verse before that. Therefore, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, let us also, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our salvation, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that hath endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that ye wax not weary, fainting in your souls. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which reasoneth with you as with sons. My son, regard not lightly the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art reproved of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son he receiveth. I wasn't planning on reading that far, but I just, the Lord, keep going. And, what was I going to say? You know, looking unto Jesus, you know, despising the shame, you know, it's the Lord saying, Missy, it's not about you. It's about my work in you and what I want to do through you for others. It's not about what I want, because when I kick against the goads, I'm in my flesh and I want what I want, and I don't. You know, he's finally got me to the point where I don't want to run away from the crucifixion. I want to stay there because I know I have a reward at the end. He that endures unto the end shall be saved. If y'all remember the number 34 and 44, the story that I told you is with that. The Lord said, you endure to the end and I have a blessing for you. And I just, Fudgy jumped up. She heard Merle coming in the garage. And but anyway, I'm so encouraged. I don't know how. Lord knows the end from the beginning. I don't know the end from, I don't know the end from the beginning, other than the fact that everything works out perfectly in God's plan. He has nothing good but good for me. And the Lord brought to my mind too, I gotta read this too. And I didn't remember exactly how it went or whatever. I didn't know it real well, but I went and read it again today. And it just really, really encouraged me. And you all know it, but I'm gonna read it. Jeremiah 29. I'm going to actually start at verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are accomplished for Babylon. Well, it's like I see, after 70 years of discipline or your own personal tribulation, getting Babylon out of you, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end. And ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn again your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Awesome. Awesome words. Awesome verses. Praise you, Lord.
How you feel?
I'm pumped up. I just talked myself into it.
Go for it, girl.
I just talked myself into into joy, I guess, is the way to describe it. I just talked myself into joy, encouraged myself, but it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else got to get something off? Who is that? Shalanda! Go, girl. You got to unmute yourself. iPad and Judy knows how to do that. You got to unmute it, Judy.
There
you go. Hi, Shay.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. Say hi to Missy.
Hey, Shay.
Hey, Missy.
How are you, sweetie?
I'm good. How are you?
Blessed.
Good.
Can't you tell? Just heard my rendition there, huh?
You okay, though?
Yeah, she's pumped up now. Okay.
We can't get on I can't get on my iPad. It keeps coming up air. So I'm on my iPhone, and I've never really worked with my iPhone. So
well, you're doing good. We can see you. You're kind of like a postage stamp, but we can see you.
A postage stamp. I gotta figure out how to get back there.
You can't beat it like that, Judy, and expect it to keep on working now. Come on. Oh my gracious. Pow, pow, get mute yourself, phone. All right. All right, anybody else? Go, Dave.
I think you were talking about righteousness. I kind of like that because it also brought in that verse I talked about a minute ago and talked about righteousness goes before him and he prepares the way of the footsteps. Prior to that, Psalm 85:12 and 85:13. 85:13 is what I read, but 85:12 says, "Yes, the Lord will give that which is good. Our land will yield its increase. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the ways for his steps." And then you read in Hebrews 1:9, "You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions." And we think about that righteousness, and that's one of the things that always kind of stump, makes a lot of people trip until we understand righteousness, that we get our righteousness from Jesus. We get our righteousness from God. And it's just like salvation. It's something that's given to us. It's not something we have to become ourselves, but it's be given to us because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And it's Christ's righteousness that is coming through us now. So if we just receive it and let the Lord, Missy's talking about, let God do that crucifying work in us, we have that righteousness coming through us. And then, like it said in 85:13, now it goes before him what's going before us, because it's Christ's righteousness in us. And it's a righteousness that prepares our steps, it prepares our way. It's Christ in us doing that for us, you know. Just we just have to accept it by faith and yield to the cross, and that righteousness is going to come through us. It's Christ's righteousness. And we'll hate righteousness. We'll be like him. We'll hate iniquity and love righteousness, and it'll be our oil of gladness too. And it'll be our God saying to us, God, because we are God, Christ in us, you know, he's talking to us also.
Amen. That's good, babe. Thanks. Righteousness shall go before him and shall make his footsteps a way to walk in. Psalms 85:13. Amen. That's a good one. All right, anybody else? Did everybody get the email that I sent out, the creep email that I sent out? Did somebody not get one? I want to make sure I got everybody on the group email. I figured out really how to do it. I just now figured it out the other day how to do it.
Michael, when did you send that out?
This afternoon.
I didn't get it.
Well, how come?
I'm bad about stuff like that, you know? When you send stuff, I just don't get it.
Let me, before we get off, I'll check to make sure I got your right email. But anyway,
I didn't get it either.
Wait, have you checked your email, Leon?
Yeah, I was just on it just a minute ago.
Were you?
Yeah, so apparently you didn't figure it out.
You didn't ever.
Leave me alone.
I didn't get it, though.
Okay, Leon and Barry didn't get it. I'll make sure about yours. Emails, make sure I got the right one. You got this, it, didn't you?
This could be a pretty big subject, I noticed. You know, there's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I saw the masterwork today. I'm telling you. We've got this. We met this fella here a while back, and we wanted to help him and have him help us. And he's a once saved, always saved guy. And I knew if I brought it up, David would take it over, and I was glad, you know, we're kind of a tag team match, you know. I can bring it up, but I'm gonna let him do the stuff, you know. Anyway, we were gonna use this well, this, I don't know if we still will or not, but anyway, he's a once saved, always saved guy that speaks in tongues. And I brought up the subject. I said, well, you know, we want to be able to dispel a lot of these doctrines that are around, these doctrines of bad doctrines. And one of them is sinner saved by grace. And Another one is, I've named a couple of other ones, you know. And of course, I saw him buck up. I knew he was going, I knew it was going to strike something in him, you know. Well, I believe that I am a sinner saved by grace. Not a sinner saved by grace, but once saved, always saved. I believe I am always saved. And he went into this big litany about how he was once saved, always saved. And I could see David. And the guy looked up at me because I was the one that brought it up. And I said, like that to David. And David knew that was his cue. And boy, I tell you, he worked him over in such a graceful way, the guy didn't know what had hit him. It was just, it was amazing to watch. You know, and I'm sitting there, I said, I'm watching this guy over here, and I could see that religious spirit, man, he was, you know, that kind of thing, getting nervous, getting real nervous. They always get nervous when you bring out a scripture that contradicts their theology, their doctrines. And I was just amazed at it. And I said, Lord, I want to be able to do that. And the Lord told me, well, if you'd been in the Word all these many years instead of going out there and doing your own thing, you could have been doing it. So, you know, encouraging me like that. But he was right. It's the Word in you that allows you to speak against wrong doctrine. Now, whether or not David changed his theology or not, I don't know. But what amazed me was the grace and the direction that he went. I would have gone a different direction. First thing I would have done was slammed him with Romans 11 and 6, you know, down there about breaking off the branches and stuff like that. You know? But David came at it at a different direction in love, you know. And he said, well, you know, brethren, we have these scriptures. He said, the first thing we have to understand is that we can't cherry pick our scriptures, da, 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 da. And he said, and the Lord doesn't want us to. He said, I've been doing this for the da, 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 you know, and it was, I wished I'd have had it on tape. I do. I wish I'd have thought about it. I'd have said, selfie, you know, and I'd have check it out, you know, doesn't it? And y'all could have seen how he did that. And he brought it all together in such a way, and he brought it to an end by saying, the thing that you have to do is to, let me make sure I get this right, is to make sure that you don't listen to man's theology and make it yours rather than God's theology and make that yours. He said, the best thing that you can do is to get in the Word and find out for yourself what the Word of God says. And when you do that, you get it in your heart and you'll understand it. And then you, when these doctrines come up, you can reject them. This is a spirit-filled guy, and he said he didn't believe all the Baptist doctrine about God doesn't heal, God doesn't, but he's still in the Baptist church. And of course, David kind of waltzed around that a little bit. Missy was talking about being blunt a while ago. That's always been my problem. I want to slam him, boy. I mean, pow, come here, boy. Let me show you something, you know. But I saw another way to do it, and that's to have love and grace toward these people because they have been taught this for 40 years, 30 years, or whatever. And that's all they know, because they haven't checked it out. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to see how y'all would react to a person that came up and asked you about once saved, always saved. You know, how would you respond to somebody that does it? Me, before I heard today, I would have just come up, like I said, Romans 11, I'd have slammed them with that word. Well, it says right there, you know, you're going to be broken off and da-da-da-da-da, and then gone on down. But anyway, what do y'all think about that? Is that the way to do it? Or is every person different? you got some, you got to slam it. And some, you have to have a lot of grace in order to get through to. Yeah, Missy.
You know, my thought is, you know, I mean, whatever the Lord, I mean, just by the Spirit, you know, I mean, it is, like you said, it is good to get in the scriptures and know yourself what's in the scriptures and be able to use the scriptures. But one of the things that comes to my mind, you know, but you got to be led by the Lord. You got to be, you know, you got to be led by the Spirit of God, because each person is different, you know. And like one thing that came to me, you know, when you're saying, well, how would you do it, you know, or whatever, what came to me would be say, okay, so you think that, so that you think that if when you believe in the Lord and you ask Jesus into your heart, that you can live your life however you want after that, that you can go out and murder something and you're somebody and you're still going to go to heaven?
Well, you weren't saved to begin with. That's what they'll tell you. That's what this guy said.
Yeah, they come up with, yeah, I mean, it's crazy, you know, stuff that people say with, yeah, because I've heard that a lot. Well, you weren't saved to begin with then, you know.
Well, you have to ask them what they mean by saved.
Absolutely. That's a good point, Dave. That's a good point. What is salvation to you? I tell you, when he asked him, he said, now, what is faith? What do you believe faith is? He said, well, it's that Jesus died on the cross and he's sitting up there on the left, da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, and Dave said, nope, that ain't what the word said. And he went in and told him what salvation was. What did Jesus say that salvation was? Three words, actually. Repent and believe. That's what Jesus said. And he said, you believe that just accepting Jesus in your heart is going to get you saved. He said, that's not even in the Bible. And the guy looked at him, had one of these looks, you know. He said, he repeated, it's nowhere in the Bible to accept Jesus in your heart. It ain't in there. That is not there. He said, repent and believe. That's what he said. Believe what? You got to have faith. Enduring your faith to the end, he said. When you endure in your faith to the end, that's when you're saved. If you jump off that faith wagon, you're not saved. At the point you lose faith. And when you sin, you're outside the body, right? That's what the word said. Anyway, just some of those things that he went through, yeah.
Go ahead,
Missy.
Well, it just makes me think of, you know, what we've heard. Faith is accounted as righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We just got through saying the verse, didn't we?
Yep. Without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to God. For he who comes forward to God must believe that he is, and that he is, he rewards those who seek him, or something like that. I forget exactly how the ESV says it. I have a couple different versions in my head. But anyway, but yeah, I mean, repent and believe. Exactly, you know. So yeah, this is a really good subject. You know, to really, really, really get into and discuss. We probably wouldn't be able to finish it tonight, but yeah, it's a good topic.
We're just getting started. I was suggesting, and I'm going to do this too. There's that book, Destructive Demon Doctrines. It's got in there, chapter 3. What is that again? Unconditional eternal security. But David makes a point here, and I'm just starting. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who saved us and called us with a holy calling. He says, a person saved before they can be called. So we can have people that are called that are saved, but they're still not the elect. So this is how this how deep this is going to go when we start looking at this. There's a lot to this unconditional eternal security. You know, we're going to have to understand what salvation is and what saved is, what called is, what the elect are. So we're just getting, just starting to bite off some of this.
You know, I watched that video again about, I forget exactly the title of it, but it was the one by Derek Prince. I watched that again last night about waiting. Why does God make us wait or something like that? And, you know, and he said about endurance there, you know, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. You know, you have to endure the whole way to the end, you know, and you can't endure without faith. You can't. So, yeah. And you can't do it without God either. that's where the faith comes in. You know, you believe in everything that he's done. But anyways.
Peter says the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. If you don't have faith, the faith that the Bible talks about, not what the preacher talks about, the faith what the Bible talks about, you can't be saved, can you? How do you get that faith? What is faith? Let's call on those things that are not as though they were. I am saved. I believe that I'm saved. And then 2 Corinthians 3:18. Y'all all know that one, Dave. That's one of David's favorite ones, you know. I had to look it up, but I hadn't memorized it yet. I know it. Y'all know which one I'm talking about?
When you look in the mirror, the glory of the Lord.
Yeah, when you look in the mirror, you see Jesus. Yeah, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. You can't do that but one way, and that's by faith. Are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, from star glory to moon glory to sun glory. Even as from the Lord the Spirit. So this is the Spirit of God that does that in us as we read and study the Word of God and understand what Jesus looks like. You can't do that. You can't tell what Jesus looks like unless you read about him. And he tells you. Amen.
I got a question. What do you mean by the salvation of your soul? What's that mean?
Okay.
The end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. What is that talking about?
What's your soul? That's the thing to ask these people. What is your soul? Well, ask by the Spirit. No. That's your mind, your will, and your emotion. That's what's up here. That's what you think. That's what, like Dave alluding to, I knew what he was talking about. Go ahead, Dave.
So I guess it means it's a progression.
Absolutely. It's not a, you get, once you accept Jesus in your heart, you've punched your ticket and you're in. Praise God. And I can go ahead and go out Saturday night.
Andrew has his ticket punched. I see that. Yeah.
Well, it's this is going to teach people out there what salvation is if we go through this whole thing of what they don't.
What are we supposed to fill our soul up with to be saved?
The what?
I mean, what are they talking about? Salvation of our soul. What is it we need in our soul to be saved? What are we missing?
We need the sperm of Jesus. We need that. We need Jesus. Yeah, Andrew. Come on now. You got to unmute. If you're going to talk, buddy, you got to unmute.
I got a good one for you. How do you be yoked to Jesus, but you also want Jesus inside you?
Well, how do you get him inside you? By sowing the word.
That's the word, yes.
The word.
But, you know, he does tell you that you got to take his yoke upon you.
Mm-hmm.
and to be meek and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul. So what about this salvation for your soul? How does this salvation and the rest go into that soul at the same time?
Okay, there's another question for you. Y'all writing these down. We've got about a year and a half study right here.
Didn't he also say my yoke is easy, my burden is light? What does he mean by that?
This how can my, a yoke be easy? How can a yoke be easy?
If you're yoked to Jesus, then who's the one in the back having all the reins?
Y'all getting this down? Amen. That's a good one. That's a good one. Who's got the ring? The Father's got the ring. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Missy.
Well, simply put, Jesus is salvation.
That raises another question. Well, if Jesus is my salvation and I accepted him in my heart, what's the problem? The problem, here's the problem. Go ahead, Missy. I'll let you answer.
Well, one thing that came to me is work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, it's like if you can't lose your salvation, well, then why does that verse say that? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Where is that?
You can always give them also, for many are called, but few are chosen. Like
you're here. Yeah. Well, the ones that are called are not saved.
Yeah.
They always throw that back out there, is that, you know, they didn't lose their salvation. They never had it to begin with. What if they're called? They've been invited in. That's what that word call means. What is that? What is that Greek word, kaleo? Being invited? Yeah, Leah.
That brings up the subject of the sower and the seeds, because they accepted the word with joy, and two of them didn't even make it because of the things of the world. So how come they didn't make it? They didn't bear the fruit.
I believe it's three of them didn't make it, wasn't it?
Well, the first one I'm saying is, he rejected it right away.
You're right.
The second two received it with gladness. And the first one had shallow dirt, so he fell away quickly. And the second one, the cares of the world got in his way. So.
Well, I skip over those. That's not relevant. I don't know, man. You know.
What about the fifth one? The one where the enemy comes in there and plants that bad seed. It's right after the four.
Plants the tear.
Yeah.
Plants the tear.
Yeah.
Now that goes to also connects to rapture. Because what does he do first in that field when it comes to fruition? He gathers up the tares first and burns them. Yeah. Go ahead, Leah.
What about Jesus taking their name out of the book in Revelation 3?
Well, yeah, we don't really look at that one.
Okay.
We've got
talks about it more than just there.
I know. We've got dozens and dozens of these scriptures that they just ignore because it goes against their theology. And that's mostly what David was telling us. He was telling me, he said, man, your salvation, these people's salvation depend upon whether the word of God is, you've got to work the right, how do you put it? The right interpretation of the scriptures. He said, you have to use all of the scriptures in order to do this. You can't just pick one out here, one out there, and form your theology on it. He said, and he's quoted the scriptures, you know, pow, now, now, now. Pow, boom, over here, boom, over here, boom, he got him again, boom, he's going down, boom, he's doing it again, you know. It's awesome to watch, I'm telling you. I wish y'all had been there. This guy was sitting over there, he said, how in the world did I get in this conversation? Why did I get in it? And I even asked him one day, he said, why are we going over this? And David talked. He called your doctrine wrong. You need to get this right. He didn't say it like I would have said it. He said it in a real nice way. You know. But this is good. If we can get bring all these scriptures, let's do this. What's tonight? Is this Tuesday or Thursday? It's Tuesday. Yeah, Missy.
I was thinking that we're not far enough into the month, but I just wanted to, I don't know how good we've been with this, but I guess next Thursday would be the last Thursday, and we usually do, or at least that's the plan to do worship or whatever.
You talking about this coming Thursday? No, we got...
Next Thursday.
Oh.
Next Thursday, I think.
We got two more Thursdays.
Oh, that's right. Okay, never mind. This month...
22nd and 29th. The 29th is...
Okay.
Sorry, about.
I was wrong.
That's okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
Get that.
That's not, was that prophecy?
Yeah. Well, I like those last Thursday. Did anybody get to hear that song I playing tonight? Of Psalm 46 by Shane and Shane. Greg played it last night at the fellowship, and I thought it was an awesome song. I'd heard it before, but I really like it. It's Psalms 46 by Shane and Shane. But anyway, getting back to this, we can continue this on Thursday night. I'm going to play the devil's advocate Thursday night, and I'm going to come back with what the Baptists would come back with. And y'all better have your ammunition ready.
I want to read through that section really well, get a feel for it.
I'll tell you another what's the name of that book? There's another book that has all that stuff in it too. That Doctrines of Demons has got that one on Once Saved, Always Saved, Eternal Reconciliation. That one there is a good one. They're probably about the same stuff in all of them. What it'll do, folks, what it'll do, it'll get us all acclimated to when the time comes that we can speak with them, you know. No, because we're going to know it. We're going to know it on how to present it. And like we were talking about earlier, David and I prayed for when we went over there that God would give him wisdom and grace and have grace with this guy. And I believe he did. I believe he did. Now, whether or not the guy accepted it or not, that's the question. We'll find out.
There was a guy that came in here about a year ago or maybe a little longer that was once saved, always saved. He was talking about his pastor, praying for his pastor. I seen him trying to work that in here, you know. And, well, Michael, the knowledge that you've got, you know, he's doing this kind of thing, working in his once saved, always saved. Oh, boy, I've seen this one coming. He kind of gracefully went through it, you know, a little bit, you know. He didn't stick around too long, though. It wasn't, you know.
Yeah, we've had a couple of those kind of guys, but for whatever reason, they don't stick around very long.
He has a spirit. You can see that spirit working, coming out.
Well, what it does, that spirit, that religious spirit, it gets nervous when you start quoting scriptures to that doesn't line up with their theology. And then they start saying things like this guy started saying, well, They just wasn't saved to begin with, you know, da-da-da-da-da and other stuff, you know. What's that one line that they always, is it that one in Corinthians that they always use? I can't remember right now. And it was amazing to watch today. It's about a, they did about a little hour.
Isn't that, Michael, no one will snatch them out of my father's hand. Isn't that the one they use?
It's what, Barry?
It, where they say that no one will snatch them out of my father's hand.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and no one's going to snatch me out of my father's hand. Yeah, but I walk right out of that hand, though. Oh, no, I can't. I got Jesus in me. You know, and then you got to say it to yourself, you don't say it to them. Yeah, I can see that Jesus in you, all right. That religious spirit come alive, boy, manifesting. That's okay. When you get in these discussions, we don't need to argue with them. Just tell them, look, we're going to go by the word. You agree that the word of God is the word of God? That's what I always do. I start out, I preface everything. When I get in a discussion with somebody, I'll ask them, first of all, do you believe that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God, that it is truly the Word of God? And if they disagree with you that it was written by man, well, you're just wasting your time. You go on. But if they do say, yeah, oh, yeah, I believe it from Genesis to Revelation, you know, okay, we're going to test that. Now, another thing that we have to agree on is this, is that if we come across scripture that goes against my theology, or it goes against your theology, are you willing to change your theology, and am I willing to change my theology to go with what the Word of God says? And if they agree with that, then you're getting somewhere. It's when you get into that they hear some of the stuff they say. Well, that's just the way you interpret it. What? You know, anyway. But if you qualify before you start with them, that's the best way to do it, is just to qualify and you understand what they are. Yeah, Lee.
It's not for any private interpretation.
That's right. It interprets itself.
That's right. It says what it says.
Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah, Dave.
David started out with this in that chapter 3. I found that the truth always motivates people to holiness, to turn loose of the world and run after God. But a lie always makes people feel comfortable where they are, and there are a lot of lies out there.
Yeah, that's true. I remember that too. Well, we're about out of time, so... And it's been good tonight. Thank y'all. It's been awesome. We'll continue this Thursday night. So y'all get pumped up. We'll see what else we come. Look, just like somebody said that man, we can go on and on with this thing. It's a good subject. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in us, that you are putting the word in us. Lord, sometimes we have trouble with our memory. But I know that when you need it, it's there. I know that when we need it, you're going to bring it forth. We don't have to worry about it. All we have to do is get it in us. And when we get it in us, Lord, you're going to bring it out. And Father, we just praise you for that. We thank you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for answering our prayers for little Madeline, the 4-year-old, Tracy's granddaughter, that she's healed. We thank you, Lord, for, let's see who else we have here that was prayed for. Pat's wife, we thank you, Lord, that Pat's wife's gallbladder is a complete new one in there. And they're going to, if they do cut into her, they're going to see a brand new thriving gallbladder with nothing wrong with it. And Father, we thank you for that. We also thank you, Lord, that Malcolm's friend's coming. He's already into the kingdom, Father, that he has repented and he's been brought in. And we praise you for it, Father. And what else did we pray for? Lord, I just thank you for all our prayers that were answered tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for working in Missy, all that you are, Lord, bringing her around, bringing us all around to where you want us, Lord, where we've got our eyes locked on you, Lord. Because we know when we've got our eyes locked on you, Lord, everything else is going to work out to your satisfaction and ours. And Father, we praise you for that. Lord, I just thank you for all my friends. I just love them. And I pray for them, as you know. And I thank you, Lord, that when we come together Thursday night, Father, that we're going to have another great discussion about your word, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Protect us, guide us, give us some good sleeping time. And Father, we just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let me get everybody unmuted here. Good night, y'all.